Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 2885.
Identify a person who has had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
Wow.
That is a good question. Someone who's had a significant influence in my life. I'd have to say my grandfather. And to explain that significance would be to say that he was the base from which I had formed many of my my philosophy and views on life, because he always taught me to not only read about religion, about sciences, be they the social sciences or the medicinal sciences. He always taught me to be always active in my brain, always questioning, always trying to learn. But instead of just reading and accepting what I read, he taught me to be cognitive and cognizant, and to always be determined in whatever my actions were, so that I would eventually learn to grow into someone who had more of a proactive problem-solving nature and be able to, function in the world and, you know, leave it a little bit better than I found it, hopefully.
Who do you aspire to be?
Who do I aspire to be? It's a good question. It's general. Who do I aspire to be? I don't know, occupation-wise, I aspire to be a successful film producer, full-time, which I'm on my way, and I am. As a man, I aspire to be somebody that inspires others through my actions. Someone who reflects what he says, to have my actions obviously be louder than my words to some extent, and to be a father someday, I think. Yeah, I aspire to be a good father and a respectful person and a good husband, maybe.
How would you describe your personality?
My personality. Whenever my personality comes into question or someone asks me about that, the first thing that they always say is, they always call me a Capricorn. They're like, you have so much energy and you're so friendly. You're such a people person. And I don't know, which just obviously means I have an open spirit, that I'm not afraid to say what's on my mind. And as I've grown, obviously, my energy has matured into somewhat of a filtered energy that allows me to express what I need to in my business and what I do, to not waste time with deception or illusion, and just be able to say exactly what I think and feel, but be conscious of others and the fact that, you know, what I'm saying though it may be in my reality true, may not be in others. So I always try to I always try to make sure to get my point across, to be understood, and to make sure that though others may not agree with me, that they understand what I'm saying and my message is clear, which is important in film as well as in when you're working with others in a team.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have and why?
The most admirable qualities. Well, I think the most admirable quality would be reliability, loyalty, and to be trustworthy. Yeah. I mean, I think I don't want to say expect, but that's what we always hope to have in somebody else, to be able to rely on them and to be able to be understood by that other person without always having to explain something. Somebody who's conscious of others. I guess the idea would be to be more open, I guess. Somebody who reads you. I don't want to get into the whole apathy, empathy thing, but, you know, that kind of thing.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
What quality do I like best in myself? I like my energy. I like the fact that I'm one of those people who actually gets things done. A lot of people, I don't know that I've met that in my business, and the people that I've seen in various other fields of profession, talk a lot, say a lot, I want to do this, we're going to do that, but nothing ever really gets done. So you have some of those people who are just so ingrained into this system of society, the way we work, that they're always only willing to follow when the most minimal or medium effort will actually create a situation where they are being leaders, where they're being able to not only lead their own lives, but lead and manage others.
Tell me about the most cherished present you've ever received and why this gift was so special.
It doesn't always have to be something tangible. I remember the first time I really, really, really fell in love with somebody. And she, we were at this studio that I used to work at where I danced. And because I was teaching there. And I stayed up late because I used to always stay late and work and do stuff. And she came and we danced around the floor in the middle of the night, you know, kind of like really subdued. And I told her I loved her, and she literally, like, beamed. And for the first time ever, I actually felt like someone's, it sounds kind of kooky, but someone's energy, someone else's love, like, kind of really pouring into me. Like it was crazy. It was the most amazing sensation. I think of that as a gift.
What is your favorite holiday and why?
You know, that makes me think of what my father said to me recently. He said that in Judaism that there are two holidays, and there's an argument as which one is the holiest. And one is Passover, which happens once a year, and the other is Shabbat, which happens every Friday. So they say, which one's the holiest? Well, you know, obviously, you know, on that one week, that Passover, everywhere everyone celebrates it. They all get together, but not all do celebrate Shabbat because, you know, they're busy or their lives don't allow them to. And he said, which one's holier? And then he says, well, the answer to that question would be, what kind of friend, which friend is more reliable? The one who comes to you every week and you talk to him and you want to be a part of your life, or someone who visits once a year? And I was like, So I guess Passover, because it's about family. But
what is your most memorable vacation?
Most memorable vacation. My life and vacations have been extremely weird because I've never really taken vacations. When I was a kid, my grandparents, my grandfather would all pack us up in a van once or twice a year, and we would drive down to Florida, drive south and drive west, drive anywhere, and we would just all be together, and it would be horrible. We'd be fighting. It'd be okay, and it'd be great, and laugh. And my grandmother said to me, I was like, why do you spend all this money if you're always complaining about, And she said, well, I can spend money on this, and this. You know, superfluous things, material things, or fix the house, or do that. Even something that's necessary, or I can invest in memories. And she's like, I'd rather do that. So I thought that was cute. So I guess those vacations would be it.
What type of books did you enjoy in your childhood?
Books. This could actually take like hours because when I was a kid doing English, because my mom was American, my father, you know, obviously Israeli, and so Hebrew. We also had French influence, so I had all these languages. So my mom was an actress, and she only spoke English, and she was an actress, so she would constantly be reading or studying. So when I was growing up, all I grew up on was like Shakespeare, Mother Courage. I mean, which was not Shakespeare, it's another playwright, but, Tennessee Williams, I remember even when I was a kid, I read Kafka. One of the first plays that I knew because my mom read it all the time was Much Ado About Nothing, and I still to this day can recite pretty much every word of Romeo and Juliet. So I guess, in a sense, those are books because they're bound, but they're plays, so it depends on the thing. But yeah, those, classics, I've always been into classics, contemporary, stay away from, but my sister's trying to get me to read Sookie Stackhouse series, vampire thing.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Oh, yeah. I had some people say Patrick Dempsey from Can't Buy Me Love, you know, that film, which was really good.
What is your favorite period in history and why?
What is my favorite period in history? My favorite period in history, from what I've read, I'd say would be, I know each one's endearing. I'm hopeless romantic in some ways, so I like the idea of the golden era in Europe. But the 20s here in the States sounded so great with the prohibition, speakeasies and dances, and you know, it sounds like, I always feel like I'm born in the wrong era, or even the 50s and 60s with 60s with Jimmy Cagney. And
and Greta Garbo and Humphrey Bogart, but I mean, those are films that set the time, not really. But anyway, yeah, it always sounded romantic. The war was going on, but you know, it was far away. I don't know. You know, people were more open to love, even though, I don't know, I guess female-wise, it was really still a slave kind of state in that sense, you know? We were forced in these horrible roles and only being useful if they were married or something, you know? Anyway.
What is the craziest thing you've ever done?
Jumped out of a plane. Done skydiving. I'm adventurous. I have no fear. Or if I have a fear, I face it. So, I mean, that's a physical thing. I jumped off a bridge in France, in the Alps. Like, it's kind of this cathartic Buddhist exercise, almost in a sense. It's really cool. The craziest thing I've ever done. I guess one time, the first time I left to go back to Europe from America, I sold my car. Skipped out. I had 1 month left on my lease. Pretty much had a little garage sale. Bought a one-way ticket to France and left and traveled for 2.5 years, 3 years. I don't know. I was gone for a while. And then I worked on a ship after that, traveled the world, and then I just kept moving around.
What sound do you love?
I love the rain. I remember even from when I was a kid growing up that people, my family and friends or places where I was staying, they're like, did you hear that loud thunder last night? Wasn't it crazy? And I'm like, no, man. It was raining. I slept right through it because those kind of things calm me. But lately, I would have to say I've been listening to Ava Cassidy a lot. She's amazing. I don't know if you know her, but she's amazing.
What sound do you hate?
My voice. Talk on a board, I guess. I don't know.
How do you deal with stress?
How do I deal with stress? That's a good question. I've been asked that a lot. How do I deal with stress? I love stress. So how do I deal with it? I mean, I swim in it. I bathe in it. Stress never really bothers me. Because whenever that happens, I always think of that this thing that my friend, I had this friend in, who lived in Valencia, Spain, and we used to, he was in a program in Erasmus with me. It's this exchange program. And I asked him that same question or something similar, and he was like, dude, he's like, it's so much, life is this pain, it's this anger, it's this, all this stuff. He's like, if you're always happy or you're always doing something, you'd be bored. He's like, so what do I think of that? What do I think of stress? He's like, it's like food with spices. It's the spice of life. And even though that's kind of corny, and I've heard that before, when he said that, when I heard it again, I was like, yeah. Every time I thought of stress, I'm like, well, I'd be bored if I wasn't doing this, or if it wasn't worth it, then I wouldn't be then it wouldn't be so stressful. It wouldn't be so important to me. So obviously, you know, the more stress I feel, I'm like, it must be very important for me to do this. It must be important for me to be a part of this. So why not give it my all? Yeah.
If you could live anywhere in the world for a year, where would it be and why?
I love France. France is pretty much the best place in Europe. And I'm not saying that because I think that country, that culture is dominant, but even though it is, but its location allows you to go to, it's like right smack in the middle of Europe. Not so much, obviously, Russia, but I'm talking about Eastern Europe, Western Europe. Anyway, you can go to Spain, it's literally Spain's just southwest of that. Italy's right there. If you live, I'd say Lyon, the city of Lyon, I haven't lived there, but that city's just, it's like, I think it's the second biggest city in France. Food, just amazing. I mean, just everything has history in it, meaning something that's been built on something else, that's been built on something else. And, you know, like even the cheese and the wines you drink and the food, you know, you just feel healthier being there.
How do you want to be remembered?
Things that we were talking about, qualities in others. I'd want to be remembered as somebody who was loving, caring, genuine, passionate, definitely. A great father, considerate, yeah.
If you were elected president of the United States, what's the first bill you'd enact and why?
Okay, first of all, I would never be elected president of the United States, and not because I do not think I would do a great job. But I would try, at least start with the United States, obviously, to be the first country just to radically change its usage of fossil fuels. I would try to free us from the bonds of oil, encourage in a sense with you know, through benefits and through incentive programs, total rejection of oil, in a sense, and the ideas of readapting our cities, our towns, to actually be receptive to nature. Because in nature, there's always this balance, you know, where every animal gives and takes and accepts. And you know, it's kind of like a circle. It's really great. I saw this documentary called Home. It's really amazing. You should see it.
Our cities have become less like that. Because of oil, we've been so, it's allowed us to do so much to manipulate metals, such as fire. Fire allows us to manipulate metals. And we've become such a society of mass production that I would do away with that. And in a sense, what's behind that would fuel also money and put more importance on other things. I would try to, in a sense, create a system where education was the money, where being conscientious. We have so many people, it's like, where's your education going? We have so many people who study and study and study, but they're reading information, they're holding it, trying to be like a computer, and they do nothing with it. They're not cognitive, they're not critical, being critical thinkers. So, I mean, I would really emphasize, I feel like get at the heart of that, attack the oil, attack the money, and then slowly, I know I hate to say attack, but, you know, build conscientious people and get rid of them.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I have an active and busy life, and I truly do, like I said, want to be a father someday, and I really love that idea. I think I'd be an amazing father, but the reason why I wanted to do that was to know that part of me is still out there, A, to be able to be proactive and help other families that don't have that opportunity, be they, you know, hetero couples or homosexual couples or, God, a single mother or a single woman who wants to just have a child. So I like that idea. I like that idea that my actions get to have positive results out there. So, you know, yeah.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
Whatever kind of parent you're going to be to the child, just make sure to celebrate its individuality, your individuality for the child listening to this, to remember that there's no one in this world who can give you confidence or truly hurt you or give you power, has power over you but yourself. So don't let school define you. Don't let your friends define you. And especially don't let your parents or your society define you. But find your own path, because when the school melts away and when those friends come and go and when everything you thought that was supposed to happen didn't or did in some ways, you're still left with that sense of your own growth. So don't let yourself be distracted by all those other things. And question life. Constantly ask questions. Fight. Live. Love.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 2885.